Open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 4. We'll begin there in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 4. Several years ago, it's been so many years, I don't know if it'd be 15, 18. It's been a good while. Some kind of holiday was going on. We were at Carla's family, and Carla's brother and I were running the grill, and so you steaks everywhere, one with a toothpick in it. It was Carla's mom's. I don't remember what it was. I don't know if it was marinated different. I don't know if it was supposed to be cooked as whatever. But one toothpick in a big thing of meat. And somewhere in the midst of all that, from cooking to flipping to plating, that toothpick came out. And I can remember when it did, as everything was coming off onto the platter, I can remember I looked at my brother-in-law. He looked at me. He took that toothpick and stuck it in one. And it worked out well. I don't know if he luckily got the right one percentages would say probably that he did not. But nothing ever came of it. What she didn't know didn't hurt her. And we're familiar with that phrase. What you don't know don't hurt. And in that case that I just gave, that story, true story, that there was reality to that. We all can know in times when that would be a true statement. But it is not always true. If carbon monoxide was filling this room right this second, what we don't know hurts. What we don't know can kill. Could you imagine? You don't have to imagine. It happens every week somewhere. Children playing with a loaded gun. Now, they don't know it's loaded. Maybe the parents don't even know it's loaded. But it hurts. What you don't know can kill sometimes. And so what I want to do is take that phrase and apply it to the spiritual realm. What you don't know don't hurt you. True sometimes. Not true always. Even in fleshly things. Carbon monoxide and a loaded gun, examples of that. But there's a whole bunch of other examples, even in the fleshly, earthly things. It's not always a true statement. What about in the spiritual statement? Is it true that what we don't know don't hurt? Look at Ephesians 4. We're just going to read through this text, and I'll emphasize a couple words here and there. But what this paragraph is doing is basically making a contrast between people in spiritual ignorance and people who have heard and responded. And there is a big difference in those who don't know. They are spiritually ignorant versus those who do know. Start with me in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that henceforth you do not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They don't understand some things. There are things they don't know. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. There are things they don't know because of the hardness of their heart. Who being past feeling, being calloused, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you, now there's a contrast, but you have not so learned this from Christ. If it so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus. And it goes on to talk about the old man and the new man. The put this off and put this on. But there's kind of the launch and volley of that. There are those that don't know. There are those that are unaware. There are those that are in ignorance. And then there are those in verse 21 who have heard, who have been taught. And there's a world, a difference in that. Go back to chapter 3, Ephesians 3. Ignorance is a part of our life. Every one of us, it's not bad to be ignorant. We're all ignorant in some things. I mean, we would honestly admit there's more in this world we don't know than what we do. But God's Word doesn't have to be a part of that. It doesn't have to be one of those things we are in the dark about. Ephesians 3, you remember we studied the prison epistles not too very long ago. In Ephesians 3, Paul talks about how he became aware of God's will. Verse 3, by revelation, He, God, made known to me the mystery. Paul says, that's how I know it. I know it because He revealed it to me. But then he opens up a parenthesis. What about the rest of us? What about those who have not had it revealed personally like that? Verse 3, By revelation, he made known to me the mystery. That's how I got it. Parenthesis. As I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He says, I'm not in the dark. God revealed it to me. You don't have to be in the dark because I wrote it down, and if you'll read it, you'll know everything that I know. That's a paraphrase of what that sentence is. Paul says, I got it by revelation. It's been written down. If you read it, you can understand what I know. We all have gaps. We all have holes that we don't know a whole lot about. Whether that be a trade, whether that be a foreign culture, whatever. There are things we don't know. God's Word doesn't need to be one of those, because in this spiritual sense, what we don't know has a big, big consequence. Look back at that very first sentence we read. Actually, verse 18, second sentence. Their understanding is darkened, which means, that next phrase, they're alienated from the life of God. Oh, it matters. They are ignorant. They are in the dark on this. And that separates them from God. They are alienated from God. If we're talking about spiritual things, what we don't know can hurt. So let's talk about spiritual ignorance today. First of all, let's just start with some types. Types of spiritual ignorance. And the first thing, meaning, sometimes the spiritual ignorance might be content. And what I mean by that is we might just have to honestly admit, you know, the Bible itself is just kind of foreign to me. I don't really know a lot about it. That's certainly how when I met Carla, that's what I would have had to say. It was a time when we might not just know much. Now, many here were raised by godly parents who taught it. That might not be true for you. But it's true for some. For some, the ignorance is content. An example would be, in a fleshly example, imagine somebody like me, and probably some others in this room, who never took one single solitary class of physics. I just never had to do it. In high school, I didn't. And in college, thankfully, as the major I had, I didn't need it. I've never had a class on physics. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about it. That's a content I'm a little black on. I'm a little in the dark on. In the spiritual realm, we all may have some holes in our content. I'll just throw some scenarios out. Maybe we're not real settled. We're just not real firm on the structure of the Bible. You know, moving from patriarchal days to Mosaic days to Christian days sounds like physics. Understanding how the Old Testament and the New Testament work together. That might sound like physics to somebody who's never taken it. To talk just offhand, to just throw out the phrase, this occurred in the divided kingdom. Well, there are people who don't know what the divided kingdom is. For some, it's content. We just don't know. By the way, if I just described anything, if any of that just is remotely familiar to you, what we're doing in our Bible classes starting in January will help with that. We're looking from start to end. How does it fit? One continuous story. That what we're doing for the next 3 years or so is going to help with that. That's the purpose behind that. But for some, it's just content, just not knowing what's in it. That's not the only kind of spiritual ignorance. For some, it's not content, it's application. Now, to go back to our physics example. Content. You never took a physics class. You're not going to have a lot of understanding about physics. But now let's imagine somebody did take physics class. They took a 101 version. They took an introductory version of it. Very basic. Have they heard of the theory of relativity? You betcha. Will they be able to explain it? If you've taken an introductory physics class, have you heard of the equation E equals MC squared? That is the physics equation. Of course you have. But do you know what the E is? Do you know what the C is? Do you know what happens if you square it? E equals MC squared. Yeah, we might know something about that. I've heard that. But really can't apply it. Not real certain of why it's important. Why is it such a big deal? Okay. But there are people who have heard Colossians 3:17. Do all things in the name of the Lord. They know the content, but not really able to apply Bible authority. They know verses about arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, but not really able to apply God's plan of salvation. May have heard verses about not forsaking the assembling of the saints, but not really able to apply acceptable worship, etc. We're not making this up. For some, it's the content. I don't know what's in it. For some, we know some content, but not really what to do with it when we walk out the door. Bible example, Ethiopian eunuch sitting in a chariot who knows some content. There's a lamb, and that lamb's going to be slaughtered. And that's about as far as it could go. He knew the content. And then he's asking Philip, who is this? Who is this talking about? Is Isaiah talking about himself? Is he talking about some other prophet? Who? He knew the content, but he couldn't apply it. And it wasn't because he wasn't a smart man. It's because he had not been expounded on yet. He had not been taught it yet. But that's the types of spiritual ignorance that I can suffer from and that we all can potentially suffer from. Those are the types. What are the causes? Well, sometimes it's because we didn't put a lot of effort in. You know, even though I never took a physics class, if I was really interested, I could have done some study on my own. I could have done some private reading. I could have done some digging in private time if I wanted to. I never did. And I can't imagine what's going to entice me to do that. I don't really care. I think I can live and die without knowing some of those physics things. For some, whether it's the content or the application phase, it's because there's not been a lot of effort put in. There's just little inclination to learn. Doesn't mean that we don't pick up some things here and there. Doesn't mean that we might can quote some verses or say some phrases. Doesn't mean that we don't come. You know, we can be in a Bible study and not be learning a whole lot. Sometimes it's just bad effort. Sometimes it's not the effort. Sometimes it's the sources. Look in 2 Peter chapter 2. It's not that we're not putting forth effort, but we're reading Joel Osteen instead of the book Joel, instead of the prophet Joel. We're reading Billy Graham instead of letters written by the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it's our sources. And there are a lot of potential sources. 2 Peter chapter 2 is an example of that. It's interesting how the Peter epistles are. 1 Peter is writing to Christians to warn them about outside persecution. Non-Christians who are throwing the heat. 2 Peter, written basically to the same Christians, again to warn them, but not about outside persecution, but about inside false teachers. People who were Christians and or at least claiming to be Christians that was teaching falsely. Judaizing teachers example. But that's what 2 Peter 2 is all about. Look in verse 1. 2 Peter 2 verse 1. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will privately bring in destructive ideas, destructive heresies, even denying that the Lord bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. That's the first verse. The whole chapter talks about it. That whole chapter is just dedicated to false teachers, some signs to look for, some character traits that many may possess, etc. But there was a lot of false teachers then. Peter's warning about them. Well, if anything in the last 2,000 years, the number hasn't gone down. Nobody's going to make that position. The number hasn't gone down. So we got to be just as aware. And that's why we have to check. That's why we have to take what's heard and then apply it to scriptures and see, does it fit? Is it the right content? Was it applied properly? We're looking for both of those. So there are some types. There are some causes. And we brush that off because, hey, what you don't know don't hurt. Deep down in the spiritual realm, we know better than that. It's not true spiritually. So, what's the consequences? What if we never put forth some proper effort? What if we never really get around to putting our nose in the proper source? What if that content, those content holes, what if those application holes, we just never get out of the dark? What are the consequences of this? Turn to Romans 10. Here's how serious the consequences are. What you don't know don't hurt you. Well, that's okay if you're grilling meat. It is not true at all when we're dealing with spiritual principles. What you don't know may be something that causes God to look on us as unrighteous. That's what Romans 10 is teaching us. What are the consequences? We are considered unrighteous by deity itself. Look in verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do not think of Paul as being hard-hearted. He loved his Jewish brethren. He remembered them fondly. He remembered how he used to believe. He remembered how he used to feel. And he wants them to come out just as he did. It concerned him. He says, all I want for them is salvation. Same salvation that he was offered. Verse 2. For I bear them record. I'm their testimony. I could go to court of law and vouch for them. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. He said, I know how much they love Jehovah. I know how much they want to serve Him. I know how serious they are about keeping the law of Moses. How do you know it? Because I was one of them. I know how zealous they are. Now let's finish the thought. Verse 2. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're in the dark. They're ignorant of something. They don't know it. They are unaware of something. Whether they've been putting effort in, whether it was content, they won't listen. They're unaware. They have zeal. They don't have the knowledge to back the zeal up. They're zealous in wrong ways. Okay? What you don't know don't hurt, right? Verse 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. He throws here two forms of righteousness in. And that's what a lot of Romans is about. God's righteousness and our own righteousness. That is not speaking about God's righteousness because of His righteous actions. It's talking about a form of righteousness God has outlined. God has prescribed the parameters of what God considers to be righteous. And then it's possible we come up with our own parameters on that. And He's saying that's what the Jews have done. If I do this and this and this and this, I am righteous. But the problem was, nobody could keep the old law but Jesus Himself. It took deity to keep all of the law. And so if our righteousness is based on law keeping and law keeping alone, none of us are going to make it. And that's the point that He's trying to emphasize. Now turn to Philippians 3. You know, there's God's righteousness and there's our righteousness. Only one of them ultimately cuts it. And so as we're turning to Philippians 3, you know, I'm asking the question, do we bother to see if our righteousness is correct? Philippians 3, verse 9. What kind of righteousness are we talking about? Here's Paul, not talking about his Jewish brethren anymore. Now he's talking about himself. We've done this before when we went through 4 or 5 months ago doing the prison epistles. We talked about Paul's life as a Jew. Look in verse 5. Circumcised the 8th day. Tribe of Benjamin. Hebrew of Hebrews. Pharisee. Concerning zeal. I know about their zeal. How do you know about their zeal? Because he had it. Concerning zeal? Persecuting the church. Concerning righteousness of the law? Blameless. If you could... A man one time made the point. He says, if you could go back to the... prior to the road to Damascus and say, Paul, are you righteous? Yes, I'm righteous. How are you righteous? Because I'm a Jew. Because I'm of the seed of Abraham. Because I'm from Benjamin, a king's tribe. Because I am a Hebrew. I'm a Pharisee. Because I am zealous about the law. And anybody who's trying to downgrade that law, I'm going to persecute. All of those things. How are you righteous, Paul? Because I've done this, and because I have this, and because this is how I can describe my... How he's describing his own righteousness. The parameters of his own righteousness. Verse 8. Yet doubtless I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. All that other stuff I was in the dark on. There were things I did not know. I didn't know I didn't know them, but I didn't know. But now there is knowledge. I know something I didn't. I count all those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. If you can talk to Paul after the road to Damascus. Paul, are you righteous? Yes, I'm righteous. How are you righteous? Because Jesus Christ did something for me. Because God of heaven has made something available to me. There was a sacrifice, there was blood, there was redemption, there was forgiveness. I am righteous, not because of what I came from, not because of my tribe, not because of my lineage, not because of my education at the feet of Gamaliel. I am righteous because of what Christ did and because of my faith in that. It matters. How did all this come about? Actually, look in verse 8, that phrase, knowledge of Christ. Verse 10, that I may know Him. He's talking about removing some ignorance, removing a hole in His knowledge that He had no clue about. Is there a consequence? Righteousness is the consequence, a lack of it. What are the consequences? We're harmful to the cause of Christ. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1. What you don't know don't hurt. Actually, what you don't know might hurt not just yourself. What I don't know won't hurt me. What you don't know won't hurt you. Actually, what you don't know can hurt not just you, but somebody else. What I don't know can not just harm me, it harms other people that I come into contact with. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talking about himself while he was working under his own righteousness, working under that zeal of his own understanding. Verse 13, says, I was a blasphemer. He was harming the cause of Christ. He was blaspheming the name of his Savior. He just didn't know it was his Savior yet. But he was harming that name. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. I hurt people. I persecuted people. You know what it means to be injured? It means that they will hurt. What you don't know won't hurt you. What Paul didn't know was hurting others. He persecuted and he injured. And then he goes on to say, I did this ignorantly. I had no idea what I did not know. Here he is harming the name of Christ through his blasphemous statements, harming Christians, harming God's people. And he had no idea. He said, I did that ignorantly. But he didn't deny that he did it. He didn't try to pretend that it didn't happen. I did this because of what I did not know. I did this because of my ignorance. Another passage that we're familiar with talks about Paul. He says, I did these things in good conscience. When he was going before some of the Jewish leadership, he made that statement. I did it in good conscience. Feeling sincere does not make us right. Feeling sincere does not make us harmless. So our lack of knowledge can affect others. And a real quick example. Parents, if you don't take these things serious, don't be surprised when your kids don't take them serious. If you don't take study serious, do not be shocked when they don't take it serious. We know better than that. Of course, we know better than that. But what happens? What we don't know in the spiritual realm, where there's unrighteousness at stake, there is harmfulness to the cause of Christ at stake. And there's just apostasy. That's one of those Bible words that are not trying to be fancy. Apostasy just means a falling away. A lack of knowledge is the reason why a lot of people fall away. Let me just throw some questions out for you. Why would anyone sacrifice their desires? We all have fleshly desires. Looks good, tastes good, feels good, whatever. Why would we fight that if we don't have faith? Why would we not eat, drink, and be merry? Actually, the scriptures say we probably would. That's exactly what we would do. Why would we endure persecution? Why would we turn the other cheek? It's knowledge, it's faith, it's hope in something better than this that makes us do those very things. And so what happens if we don't have knowledge, faith, hope, genuine trust? Apostasy happens. You remember, I'm going to give you these verses. We won't turn and reference them, but I'll just mention where they are. In 2 Kings 22 is when we find out, you know, Josiah, you know, they found the book. Up until then, Josiah had no idea how to worship. Josiah had no idea how to please God. You don't know what you don't know. And Josiah, because the law had been lost, the books had been lost, didn't know. Had an impact on the nation, didn't it? One of my favorite memory verses in all of the minor prophets, Hosea chapter 4. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, you look back through the history of God's people, the punishments that happened, the captivities that happened, the destructive things that happened. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's been a running theme through the Bible. And at final judgment, Revelation chapter 20 talks about we'll stand before the throne, the books will be opened. I believe that to be the books of the Bible that we're looking at right now. The books will be opened and we will be judged by our actions according to those books. What if we don't know what the book says? What if our actions don't match the book because we don't look at the book? All of this matters. So, put all this together. What are we looking at? What we don't know can have an impact on us. It can have an effect on eternity. So don't reject knowledge. And don't take that trite phrase, what I don't know won't hurt. If we're talking spiritual things, that is not true at all. Get your psalm books out. If any of us are, if we would admit, you know, I'm one of those with some of those holes. I don't know the content very well. There's a time when none of us knew the content very well. I know a couple things here and there, but I'm not exactly sure how that should affect my life. I have some holes in the application phase. Okay. Yeah. That's a lifelong process. Let's just make sure we're not content with that. Don't be content to not know. Don't be content to not apply. It's called repenting. Well, the tenets of the gospel. Let's just work to get better at it. Acknowledge the problem and let's get better at it. And whatever the causes are, whether it's a lack of effort, whether it's a lack of desire, let's just let the consequences that we've been reminded of wake us from sleep. Ready to help you. Any way we can help you right now. Do it while we stand and sing.